time, take it to town.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University, the university where you learn everything that is going on in the world of pop culture and see what life lessons you can get from it for your own life. Doesn't that sound amazing, educational, inspirational? What could make it better? Having the sexiest podcast host in North America. There's some really sexy podcast hosts in Ukraine that I just can't compete with, but I am the sexiest podcast host here. Let's just make that very clear. If it is your first time here, thank you so much for coming. Take a seat in the classroom wherever you would like. Everyone is so welcome, even the furries, especially the furries. I hope you're wearing your costume right now. My name is Patty Emminger. You may know me as Petty Pop Culture from TikTok. If it is not your first time here, thank you so much for coming back. I love you. I stan you. I'm in your fandom. You already know that. We're best friends. We're besties for the resties. And we're just going to get into all the tea today, hang out, talk shit, as we always do. I just realized my dog peed right in front of where I'm recording this, and now I have to clean that. She was just so excited for the new episode that she peed herself, and I can relate. I want to let my students know that I did have parent-teacher conferences with all of your families, and just expect a stern talking to by all your parents when you get home, or expect a brutal phone call from your parents, because I talk shit about you guys in parent-teacher conferences. I know what y'all are doing outside of class in your free time, and ooh, it is just insane and wild, and they needed to know. I'm kidding. I talked amazing about all y'all. Y'all are the best students in the world. I told your parents to stop talking shit about you to your aunts and uncles. But without further ado, class, we have some truly insane stories to talk about today that I was actually, like, jaw on the floor while researching. We need to talk about this website called KimKardashianRuinedMyLife.com. And it is a brutal, actually really sad story about how Kim Kardashian truly ruined someone's life. And this is like a normal ass or like ordinary man. I'm not talking about Taylor Swift. She didn't make this website. So we need to get into that. Then we need to talk about a lot of celebrities who manifested the person that they're dating now. And I don't know what is going on in the air or how these celebrities are so good at attracting everything they want. But we need to get into that. Then let's talk about a lot of the divorce drama playing out between Shakira and Kelly Clarkson. And how, well, not between those two women, but between them and their husbands. And how Shakira's ex, Gerard, offended 29 countries all at once with one sentence that he said. And how he's probably over now. And then we should talk about if Ariana and her husband are getting divorced. Lastly, we need to talk about a pop country superstar who really gave the world a big middle finger at the Country Music Awards and stood up for what's right and made a lot of people mad while doing so. True queen. Before we get into all of it, though, on this amazing episode of Pop Culture University, make sure you rate this podcast 5-star on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You're already here. You may as well do so. It helps Professor Patty so much. Leave a cute little review. Tell me how sensual my voice is while you listen. Screenshot yourself listening to it. Post it to my Instagram story and tag me. Helps me out. And then just so many other things. Like Tuesday, Friday class, don't forget. My Snap show, Unfiltered Pop. Go subscribe. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Petty Pop Culture. Hit those all up. And without further ado, Pop Culture University is in session. Take your seats. So you guys, the story that we're going to start with today had me in tears, both in the laughing my ass off kind of way and in the, oh my God, I'm going to cry, I feel so bad kind of way. So this is real life. This is real fucking life. Posters have been popping up all over LA with the words on them that just say, KimKardashianRuinedMyLife.com. So people are like, what is going on? What is this website? Is this real? And then you Google it and it's a real fucking website. Someone made a whole ass website just dedicated to Kim Kardashian. I mean, if you don't have a website saying that you ruined someone's life, are you even making enough noise? Are you even doing enough in this world? Are you true bad bitch? I don't know. But let's just get into what this website is truly about and why the fuck this is a real thing. So the man who made this website is an entrepreneur, a businessman, who basically Kim majorly fucked over in her schemy, shady, Kardashian curse kind of ways, to the point where he is now homeless. She has somehow rendered him homeless and he lives in his car. I'm not even fucking kidding. So this guy's name is David Liebenson. I think that's how you pronounce the last name. He lives in Oklahoma. And I even saw him on TikTok. He has a whole TikTok account where he's just walking the streets holding up a sign that said KimKardashianRuinedMyLife.com. And not to be insensitive, but people probably think this guy David was just a crackhead or something. If he was living in his car, holding up a sign that said that, people were like, maybe he's on drugs. Maybe he is not well. Because we've obviously all been in populated areas, seen people who were on drugs. It's unfortunate. We wish them well. But maybe someone was just thinking that. But no, that's really not what was happening. You go to this website and it's a nice ass website. He knew what he was doing. Everything was very clearly written out. No crack-infused sentences. He was making a lot of sense on this website. And I feel like he may have gotten Kim here. So right when you open the website, it's a picture of a Kimoji, one of Kim's iconic emoji figurines on the screen with fire around it. He's jumping right to burning her at the stake. And on the front, it says, Kim Kardashian ruined my life. Kim K ruined my life so she can have her face and butt as an emoji. That's the headline. That's the copy that he's going with, that he thinks people will want to know more. And honestly, I do want to know more. So this whole story is about how he basically was played by Kim, who stole the rights and idea to Kimoji right out of his hands. And Kimoji was really one of those things that made Kim Kardashian her first really big paycheck overnight. Like, I'm talking about like massive paycheck overnight, like in the tens of millions, not just 1 million from endorsement deals or the show that she was doing before. Like, that's when she really got into business and had things under her own name and truly started, you know, going down the journey to becoming a billionaire. So you read the website more and it says, I have nothing to lose now, so I'm laying out all the facts. Kim committed fraud to get the Kimoji trademark, plus much more. He has nothing to hide and nothing to lose, and that makes him very dangerous. I think someone who has nothing to lose is very dangerous, though, because, like they say, they have nothing to lose. Like, they can ruin their own life because it's kind of already ruined, and, you know, in the process, they're going to ruin yours. They're going to take you down, too. You have a lot to lose, Kim. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And Kim's ass is massive, so she will fall very hard. But anyway, the website goes on to tell his whole story about being bamboozled by who he calls a serial fraudster. That's what it says. A serial fraudster. That's what Kim Kardashian is. So he has this in nice sections. This is a very nice website that he made on his phone. Apparently that's all he owns, like a phone and his car. So he was just making this website in his free time because he has two jobs to even just like put food in his mouth and blah, blah, blah. So he says, Kim and Chris in their most blatant idea theft yet, Kimoji. So he said, I'm building this site on my iPhone and trying to gain momentum for this in my spare time while working two jobs and camping out in my car. Please share this to everyone. So I'm sharing it to you guys. There are quite a few exhibits of evidence, and I'll add a whole section to this site for emails, texts, screenshots, original art for emojis, a recording, and over 20 individuals that had involvement and were witnesses. This all started when Kardashian was using our app we had on the Apple App Store named Sensorgram. On Sensorgram, you can add keywords, emojis, or phrases that you would want to be automatically removed from your Instagram comment section. Kim obviously had a need for it. She used our app and reached out to me by phone to discuss being the new face as well as a partner. Then a few weeks later, we met and made this initial partnership agreement at Chris's house in Calabasas, California. After that, that is when it all got weird. So yeah, it really seemed like it started out totally normally. And as we know now, you can just put in words on your Instagram app itself that you do not want to see come up on your timeline or in your comment section. You can censor words just in the app now, so there's really no need for a whole other app named Sensorgram. This was back in 2014, though, when that was not available and people were just blatantly bullying each other and calling each other slurs on the daily. And that was just the world we lived in. But you'll find out why Sensagram never became the popular mode to do that. And it's Kim's fault. She ruined two of his businesses, not just Kimoji, but also Sensagram. And before you ask, yes, I did buy Kimoji. And if you didn't buy Kimoji, you're fucking lying. You bought Kimoji. Like that was my fucking life in 2015 and 2014. If you didn't have emojis and you were a celebrity in 2015, you are practically irrelevant. You are practically homeless. You may as well go join Dancing with the Stars because you're a D-list celebrity. Like, everyone had emojis. Ariana had emojis called Arimoji. I bought those. Kimoji, Black China emoji, where she was smacking Kylie in the face and it started a whole drama. Like, I was majorly just communicating in famous It Girl, like, gifts. Like, that was the language I spoke in 2014, 2015. So, yeah, I was doing shit like that. I also bought a charger from Kim Kardashian on her Kimoji website that was in the shape of her ass. It was a portable charger that was just in the shape of Kim's huge silicone injected ass. And I would always charge my phone with it. And me and my friends would drive around. They'd be like, oh, my phone's dying. Hey, do you have Kim K's ass with you? I need to charge my phone. I'd be like, yeah, girl. And I'd pull it out of my ass and I would give it to them. So let's just continue the story now that I shared that. So Kim and David had a meeting about her being the face of the Sensagram and it went well. Then they had another meeting, and this is where it gets weird. So in the 2014 second face-to-face meeting for Sensagram that was held in Calabasas again, he promises us that she never heard the name Kimoji or even thought of herself as an emoji ever before. This was fully David's idea. Kim knew nothing about this. She never had that intellectual property. Emojis weren't as big as they were now. Keep that in mind. All went well for the Sensagram part. We discussed shares, what platform we want to bring this to. Legal stuff like us getting them to file with our provision U.S. patent info for the process we created, et cetera, et cetera. Her team signed our NDA for that. The importance of this comes up when we talk more about Sensagram later. So yeah, remember that there is an NDA that if they break, then the deal is off. So newsflash or spoiler alert, someone's going to break the NDA. At the end of the meeting, we pitched the mock-up Kimojis, and Kim absolutely loved the idea. Kimoji became all that mattered to her at that point. She really didn't even care about Sensagram anymore. She just wanted to make Kimoji with him. Then they agreed on a 50-50 split when they make Kimoji. They get half the profits. She gets half the profits. After meeting, we received a call and were told by Kim's team that we needed to be coached on how to handle working with an A-list celebrity. What? What? What did he say in the meeting? You need to be coached on how to handle working with an A-list celebrity? Oh my God, that's what I send to people when I want to break up with them. I have my team send them a text that says you need to learn how to handle working with an A-list celebrity. What the fuck did he say? Like, Beyonce's more famous? Like, I just don't know what kind of like special bow down treatment a businessman who was, you know, offering you a lot wasn't doing for you. That greatly confuses me, but it gets more scandalous. He said, this gets extra scandalous during my few week period of time following up the meeting. My family and I are on cloud nine with the thought of our new arrangement with Kim and all the success we'd have together. Then out of the blue, Kim contacts us and asked if we trademark Kimoji yet. And everything was good, but that since David didn't trademark it yet, Kim was going to go ahead and trademark it to take that off of his plate, save him time, save him money, and be helpful. So he was like, okay, that's fine. You can go ahead and trademark Kimoji. One of us is going to have to do it anyway. Then he said, literally 5 minutes after the call where Kim asked if he had trademarked Kimoji yet, she calls him back and is shocked, asking him, who's Ryan? And she's all distraught on this new phone call. Keep in mind, there was an NDA in place for Kim working with Sensagram, and they're still doing that deal with Kimoji as well. So both of the businesses. So a friend of David is who Ryan is. Ryan took a photo of behind the scenes of their meeting with Kim, the second meeting that they had, and he sent it to a bunch of people, including Jonathan Cheban. For some fucking reason, Food God had to insert himself. I feel like he's always tied to something negative, something bad. I can't see anything good happening if someone named Food God is involved. So, including Jonathan Cheban, got this photo of Kim talking to the Censorgram people, like writing stuff down on papers in the Censorgram meeting. This photo got out and it got around. So now the NDA is broken. So Kim is like, oh my God, who is Ryan? Because he's sending me photos that got out of our meeting, and now the NDA is broken, David. And it's broken on David's side, not on Kim's side. So Kim thinks David did something wrong. She thinks, oh my God, did David take a photo? Like, who took this photo? So Kim still seems innocent right now. Ryan turns out to be one of David's partners. And not only is he telling Kim that the photo got around, but he's the one who took the photo. David is saying that Ryan was a jealous friend and partner, and he wanted to take away his opportunity to work with Kim K. And that he's actually heard a friend say that Ryan admitted this before. So Ryan broke the NDA on Kim's side. No, on David's side. Ryan broke the NDA on David's side on purpose to basically screw over David. That's what David thought the truth was for a while. Then he goes on to say he finds out that Kim and Ryan knew each other before this whole meeting with Censorgram went down. And it seems like Kim lured David in, saying that she wants to be the face of Censorgram, this new app that's going to let you mute and get rid of bullying on Instagram and make Instagram a better place. And who better to be the face of that app than Kim Kardashian? So she lured David in, telling him, hey, I want to have a meeting to be the new face of Censorgram. But she knew Ryan would be there. And it seems like Kim and Ryan had a conversation before the meeting that Ryan was going to sneak a few photos. And then after the deal went through and Kim had all this knowledge from him, so she can then fake get mad at him afterwards, back out of the deal, and steal the idea of Kimoji to patent that for herself. So now, since the NDA is broken on David's side, she doesn't have to go through with what he's saying. And now she is the owner of the Kimoji trademark because she trademarked it. Isn't that crazy? Escándalo. Making Kim look very fucked up. Kim is always screwing people over the phone. Never answer a phone call attack from Kim Kardashian, ever. It's like when you get a call from Ghostface and scream, just don't answer it. So since Kim was now fake mad at David, she then backed out of the deal and threatened to sue David for $5 million if he didn't hand over the Kimoji rights and give her the ability to do her own comment control app. And David was still in the process of trying to patent Censorgram. The patent didn't go through yet. And now he would have to restart now that Kim won't be the face of it. So it seems like he had two businesses that Kim wanted to get, and she knew that. But she had to like lure him in and get some inside knowledge or information or just something from David first before she could really go do these things off by herself. So the Kimoji trademark was filed by Kim's company 5 minutes after the staged phone call. David said, so to be clear, she called us and asked if we trademark Kimoji, stating that all is a go ahead, sounding very excited. Then, 5 minutes later, her and her team secured the trademark. She called us asking who Ryan is and why he is spreading her info, which nothing of the sort was happening. This is fraud through and through. She's gotten away with it until now because she's incredibly wealthy. So yeah, she ruined Kimoji for him. Absolutely evil. And then she ruined his other company, Censorgram. Positively, absolutely evil of Kim. And because Kim, being the face of Instagram, blah, 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 she used to be like best friends with the ex-CEO of Instagram. And she told him that he should make a software to censor words in the comment sections within the app so they don't even have to pay Censorgram to do it. And I'm sure Kim got some, you know, benefit out of that deal. So that's why there's now that software that we ourselves can just go in our Instagram app and edit words that we don't want to see. I edit out the words twink, zest, and bottom from mine. I'm kidding, I don't. You can call me that anytime you want. So yeah, he said that he lost everything. David lost everything. He said, quote, I lost everything. Well, Kim Kardashian went on to make many millions off of an idea that she had nothing to do with creating. She also interfered with a patent I had filed for a process that is now used by Instagram to automatically remove comments on social media. Kim Kardashian never explained her part in this interference or why she discussed our IP with the ex-CEO of Instagram without my permission. After her and her team signed our NDA to get our patent filed, why would she do all this? At that time, Instagram had no intention of using automatic comment control. Then, less than 18 months after Kim's interference with our process, Instagram now sets it up for itself. Myself or my partners received nothing for any of it yet. But now he's hoping to like ruin Kim's life back and probably wants to make schmillions, take all her billion gazillion dollars right from her. Kanye West even, you know, had to insert himself in this drama, as he always does, trying to take credit for someone's fame, someone's money to make himself feel like Jesus or whatever gets him through the damn day. On Kanye's song, Facts, that he put out in 2016, he raps, "Plus Kimoji shut down the app store. Ah, we made a million a minute. We made a million a minute. We did. Yeah, we made a million a minute. We made a million a minute. Ah. And you lost $2 billion in a day. Ah, you lost $2 billion in a day. Ah, you have no career. Ah, you lost presidency. Ah." I just don't like how he says, "We made a million in a day." Like, you had nothing to do with it. He probably did have something to do with the scheming and planning of it all, because he's the opposite of Jesus. He's demonic. He's Yatan. That's Satan, but with a Y, Yatan. Anyway, David then sued Kim Kardashian for $100 million. You're probably thinking, yeah, why doesn't David just sue her? Sue her, big ass. He sued her for $100 million, and he sued her for breach of partnership agreement, breach of fiduciary duty. I don't know what that means, but it's just not important. He said he also sued her for unjust enrichment and fraud. Sounds very fraudulent to me, unethical and unprofessional. He had evidence. He showed the original mock-ups he made for Kimoji, emails with the Kardashians, texts with Kim, texts with Jonathan Cheban. And so Kim's response to it, because Kim and Chris have a very good lawyer, his name is Marty Singer or something, they countersued him for $300 million, and they basically threatened him, scared him, and they kind of knew his situation, where a lot of his money and his life was riding on this. So they had their lawyer like threaten him up and down that if he went through with this, they would completely win, and accusing him of all these crazy things in the lawsuit that they can sue him back for even more from. So they sued him for $300 million, knowing that he would not be able to pay that. So that's what they countersued for. And he was already in debt from starting Sensogram and then suing them in the first place. He had to take out a lot of money to even file the first lawsuit. So he just could not afford to pay that back. And he would be fucked if he went through with it and lost. Even more fucked than he is now. He said, "This whole thing was a complete shit show, and the Kardashian Jenners made tons of money off of this for years. I lost everything." She could have said in the light of this that she would just like to part ways and buy the Kimoji trademark, and we could have worked it out that way. But she's evil. She's a life ruiner. She ruins people's lives. That's what she does. So that is not how she decided to go about it. Shady business for sure. Now he wants to sue her again, but he's broke, and that's the problem. And that's where the signs and the social media post of the Kim Kardashian ruinmylife.com comes in. He's homeless, lives in his car, works two jobs, he has no money, so he wants people to donate hundreds of thousands of dollars so he is able to sue Kim again. And he's actually getting a lot of support online. I haven't checked how much he's made, but I saw people donating to it. People were saying in this comment section, "It's so sad how she ruined you. She deserves a real call out. This is so sad. I hope you get your justice. We're all on your side. I hope you get justice." Someone said, "I feel like this is really the year the Kardashians will be exposed for who they really are, and their downfall is imminent." So yeah, it seems like people are on David's side, but it's really like David versus Goliath here. Will David be able to win? I don't know. Everyone is scared to sue the Kardashians. The last person to sue the Kardashians for $100 million, Blac Chyna, lost. And now she's trying to kiss their asses again because she knows you can't beat the Kardashians, so you may as well just join them. But yeah, you guys could donate if you want. Go to KimKardashianRuinMyLife.com. And he's going to make a section for the site. He says he adds to the site every day, so Maybe I'll do more updates. But he said he wants to add a section for other people who have been screwed over by Kim or the family. So Taylor Swift should join. She could add a testimony. Black China could join. Ray J could join. Chris Humphries could add a testimony. A lot of people could actually really relate to the Kim Kardashian RuinMyLife.com website. Kanye West should make that the title of his new album. But yeah, isn't that a crazy motherfucking story? And he's a really cute man too. Like, he seems like an innocent, just cute, almost like wholesome family guy. Like, for some reason, I believe him. Even though I feel like there's more to the story. He's convincing me right now, and I believe him, and I want the best for him. However, I do always say, like, nothing can make me not love Kim. Of course, if something really awful came out, I would not love Kim. But even the Taylor Swift thing, I'm choosing to look past and just love both of them. So I'm just gonna stay Switzerland on this one until more comes out. I'm not gonna donate, but I am gonna tell you guys what's going on. But like, I want to love Kim, but sometimes she just makes it hard. So what can we learn from this? I would say just we can learn about giving your trust to people who are new in your life or haven't shown you the credentials or the proof, the evidence, prior experiences that should make you think that you should really trust them. A lot of us can be too naive, too trusting, too blindly optimistic and hopeful that the best will always be what is true about people. But unfortunately, that's just not the case. And having such hopeful optimism can sometimes really screw you over and fuck you over, because there's a lot of shitty people in this world. So I think that you should hope for the best in people, but never expect the best with a new person. Never expect they won't betray you or go back on what they said. Some people just use the word "I promise" as such a way to manipulate you and get something out of you. So hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Be overprotective of anything you've worked on, anything you want to keep close, like business stuff, your secrets as well. Just double check, keep your receipts, and keep yourself protected and appropriately guarded. You're talking shit for the hell of it, addicted to betrayal, but you're relevant. You're terrified to look down, 'cause if you dare, you see the glare of everyone you burn just to get there. It's coming back around, and I keep my side of the street clean. You wouldn't know what I mean. Karma is my boyfriend. Karma is a god. Karma is the breeze in my hair. So I believe in manifesting love for sure. I don't know if that's a creepy kind of Joe Goldberg thing of me, but I feel like if I really want someone and I really like someone, I'm going to put my thoughts into them, my energy into them. I might do some witchcraft, put their name on a piece of paper, put it under my pillow, build a doll of them, put it in my fridge, take a bath with it. Like, I will manifest my way into someone's heart. And it's like totally worked before. I'm not even kidding. So I really do believe in manifesting people, and apparently a lot of these celebrities do as well. As we were kind of talking about last week on the podcast, Harry Styles and Emily Ratajkowski are really getting close with each other, and we kind of just thought they were a little cute hookup in Tokyo, some Lost in Japan by Shawn Mendes shit. Y'all remember that song? Probably not. He's kind of irrelevant now. I'm kidding. But they were on some Lost in Japan rendezvous shit. They were making out, macking shamelessly too. They think they're not famous over there. No. There's shooters in the streets ready to shoot you with their camera phone and get it on tape. So we saw them making out. But it was revealed that Harry Styles has actually had a crush on Emily Ratajkowski for a long time. And maybe this was some kind of manifestation that they're finally together. He broke up with Olivia Wilde at the perfect time. During a 2014 interview, he said that his celebrity crush and the person he would love to go on a date with in the future or kiss in the future was Emily Ratajkowski. And at the time, she was very famous. Like, she was really blowing up kind of at the same level that he was. she was getting her name out there with like the Blurred Lines music video and these insane, huge modeling opportunities, but she still wasn't like the biggest model in the world. So the fact that he even knew who she was and he was manifesting her, kind of iconic. But he was dating Taylor Swift right before. Oh my God, was he thinking about Emily? Well, with Taylor? That's so fucked up. But yeah, he manifested her into his life, along with a lot of other celebrities. And I just want to talk about the craziest manifestations that actually led to people getting together. Some that are so crazy, you would think these people have no chance. But that's the power of manifestation, baby. So Selena Gomez manifested Zayn Malik. And they are now dating. They are closer than ever. Apparently, they have been going on more dates in New York while Selena is filming. She was seen walking the streets with his manager. Maybe Zayn had the anxiety and he didn't want to leave the house or something. But she was walking with his manager. I'm sure she was on his way to go see him. But this all started when Selena was, I don't know, like 20 back in 2012 or something. And she was being asked on red carpets and everything which member of One Direction would she like to kiss or date. And she would always say Zayn Malik. And I think that's so cute that she could have chosen any of the other four white boys who look the exact same. But she was like, no, Zayn. And he is the hottest. And now she has him. Zayn was also manifesting her back in the day because he was tweeting at her like at Selena Gomez. Hey, what's up? I love the fact that people can almost like toy with the idea of a relationship a decade before it happens. And that just goes to prove like it's never too early to start manifesting someone, even if, I don't know, even if they have a husband right now, maybe just start thinking about them a bit. You're not physically homewrecking, but you're like homewrecking with manifestation. Just hope that they divorce. I'm going to play a video of Selena manifesting Zayn. But before I do, I want to talk about some other people who manifested their partners. Victoria Beckham manifested David Beckham. They were both super uber famous at the time of when they got together like 20 years ago. But Victoria Beckham was kind of just coming up. And she said her only celebrity crush ever that she would like have posters on her wall and kiss and write in her diary about was David Beckham. And she knew that one day they would get together. And they're like the hottest couple in the world. So I respect that. And I just think that's so cute that she manifested him. Someone else's, Aaron Rodriguez, manifested going on a date with Jennifer Lopez right when he was kind of just coming up as a baseball player. He seemed like it was such a long shot to even think that he could be with J-Lo. But he would always say that in interviews when he was asked. He would say it with a joking manner too, like, haha, if someone can get me a date with J-Lo, I'd love that. And then 20 years later, they're engaged. That didn't work out, but he still got to be with J-Lo. And that sounds like a win in my book. Nick Cannon manifested Mariah Carey before, you know, he got 9 other women pregnant and has a whole basketball team of kids before he decided to populate the next generation of the world. He manifested her, and she was like the biggest, most untouchable diva goddess ever. And all of his friends were like, no way you'll get with her. But he just kept saying it and kept being so persistent until one day he just met her in person. And she was like, hey, I keep seeing you talking about me in all these good ways, blah, blah, blah. And he planted the seed. So she knew he was interested. And then she probably was flattered, probably maybe had a little bit of interest. But since she knew that he was into it, she probably opened herself up a little more to it, and she eventually made a move for them to get together simply because he planted the seed of manifestation for them to be together.
Who was your first celebrity crush? David Beckham. Really? Yes. Wow, that's fantastic. I know. You married your first crush.
See, you've got a it's about creative visualization.
Oh, I agree. But you didn't have a crush before him?
I didn't.
Wow.
I didn't.
That's amazing.
I'm going to get Mariah Carey. Like, it turned from my celebrity crush to like, nah, she about to be my girlfriend. And people are like, man, you bugging. Like, there's no way you can get Mariah Carey. I was like, watch. I'm telling you. She had heard me speaking all of these positive, secret little nothings about her in interviews. And I remember seeing her backstage at the Teen Choice Award, and she stops right in front of me, and she's like, I heard all those nice things you've been saying about me. And I was like, they true. Just give me an opportunity to make them come true.
I found a video, an old video of you, an interview that you gave And I just wanted to show it tonight because I thought it was pretty interesting. This is from 1998, I believe. Here's Alex Rodriguez.
What would a dream date with Alex Rodriguez be?
Jennifer Lopez. Hopefully you can find me a date with her.
Dude, not only...
Well, that means that dreams actually do come true in America.
Who's your favorite member of One Direction?
Zayn.
Why is Zayn your favorite?
Because he's cute.
Who would you pick for a kiss?
Oh no. Zayn? Maybe, that's it. I'm done.
There was no hesitation there. Zayn, you're in.
Yeah, I think all those videos are so cute. And I like that it makes celebrities seem like they're just like us. They have obsessive crushes and they think about people and dwell on them and wonder if they would ever have a chance or like them back. And I love that it worked out. I love seeing when a crush works out for someone because, like, you know how much it means to them and how giddy and excited they must be. Whenever that happens for my friends, I'm so happy for them. And I do anything to enable it and be a wingman for them to get their crush. I'm manifesting it with them. Just a couple more cute examples of manifesting a partner. When Ariana Grande wrote in her song called Pete Davidson, she sings, I thought you went into my life. Whoa, look at my mind. Yeah, no better place or a time. Look how they aligned. Universe must have my back. Thought for the sky into my lap. And you know that you're my soulmate and all that. Clearly he was not. And now that track is on her album like a tattoo that you cannot cover up. But hey, I like the song, so it's a win for us. I think it's cute when Halsey tweeted, quote, petition for Evan Peters to date me. That's so hilarious. That sounds like something that I would directly send to my crush. Like, I'm going to sign a petition for you to date me. I'm very direct when I have a true type for someone. But you guys, remember that guy I was manifesting last episode? I was talking about, like, I haven't had a guy who's my type in so long, who I'm genuinely so excited about and so interested in, and then I match with someone who's exactly my type on Hinge. He was like not responding for a few days, but I was thinking about him. And so I was like, you know what? I have to swallow my pride and double text. I never do this. And I feel like on dating apps, you cannot double text because like they already matched with you and messaged once. It seems like if they really wanted to hit you up, they would. You know what I'm saying? They're clearly on there. They clearly have seen you multiple times and kind of like made up their mind about you. So I was like, this is kind of like pathetic. We don't know each other enough for me to be doing this. That's just how I thought. But I was like, you know what? Let me just double text him. And I did. And then what he sent back to me was, let's go on a date. Oh, he responded to my double text. So we have something planned. And I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm dying to see how this one ends. So, but I think it'll be fun for the meantime. Do you see how I'm not optimistic at all? But anyway, what can we learn about this? I think we can learn to what you put out into the world is what you will get back. So don't be afraid to put out what you want, even if it's about a crush, especially if it's about a crush. I feel like people are so shy and embarrassed to say who they have a crush on or manifest it or even speak it into existence because it seems so crazy if it doesn't come true, or you don't want people to think you're crazy if they're out of your league, or that would never happen, or it seems like a situation that would just never fall into place. You keep it to yourself. I think you should stop doing that. Start putting it out there. Start speaking it. Think of your crush right now. Speak it to someone. Hit them up. Do something to make it happen, because that's really how you manifest. Manifesting is inspired action that starts with inspiring thoughts. So first you need to say positive words to yourself about what you want to manifest. And then those positive words, even if you don't believe them at the moment, will turn into positive thoughts because you're brainwashing yourself. Because your brain will believe something even if it hears it, even if it's not true. So once you say those positive words, it will turn into positive thoughts. Those positive thoughts will turn into positive feelings. And then those positive feelings will cause your brain to decide to make positive action and then actually do something about it. So manifesting is kind of just brainwashing yourself to force yourself to take a step of action towards it. And all those celebrities that I just mentioned, they were thinking about it. They built up the courage through their manifestations and then they had to do something about it. So they all did something about it. They all made a move. So start inspiring yourself to make a move. You can miss me with that. We are now at the portion of the podcast where we shit on men. It's a routine maintenance thing that we do here to keep ourselves feeling young and youthful and hopeful for a world without the patriarchy. So we're going to shit on men. First man we're going to shit on is Gerard Piqué, Shakira's absolutely disgrace, excommunicated from the world, ex-husband, who I just cannot say anything good about, even if I tried, so I won't describe him with adjectives. But as you know, as we all know, he cheated on her. He let his 22-year-old mistress eat the jam in the fridge, and that is how Shakira caught his ass. Bad bitches find out everything. Let's make that fucking clear. Even if just a little bit of jam is gone. I bet she didn't even eat that much jam, but she fucking knew. Ever since then, Shakira has been airbending all negative energy onto Gerard Piqué to ruin his life. And I support that decision 100%. She's really been bashing Gerard and Clara, his 22-year-old mistress, in front of the whole world to the point where they cannot even leave their house. They can't go to restaurants and eat. They literally get kicked out. That happened to them. They got kicked out because a Shakira fan was the owner of the restaurant, as that restaurant owner should. Fucking iconic. You guys, I'm 22. I could not handle the level of hate that is going on right now. The state that I am at right now, I couldn't handle the wrath of one of the most powerful women in the world, Shakira. So good for Clara Mente. Clara, do you have no soul? Because, like, how are you handling this? How are you not affected? Anyway, Gerard Piqué made another mistake in addition to cheating on Shakira this week, where he decided to talk about Shakira and just bash her along with all of her fans. And he decided to make a huge generalization about Latin American people when he was on a Spanish language interview show, and he said, "My ex is Latin American. You don't know what I've gotten on social media from her and these fans. These people have no lives. Thousands of barbidities, and I don't care at all." So I think what a barbidity is something that's like barbaric. It's like a barbaric choice of words, or like a really like animalistic, intense, kind of rough choice of words that he is getting from these Latin American Shakira fans. Why is he like, it seems really stupid to equate the treatment he's getting to her fans just being Latin American. Like, why can't you just realize that your actions were so deplorable that everyone of all descent is hating on you right now? How dare you leave me out of this just because I'm not Latin American? Like, I'm barbarically bullying you too. I don't want to be left out. But people thought this was an overgeneralization of Latin American people and were very upset by his choice of words and were shitting on him, saying that he is xenophobic. He got xenophobic allegations and he's being canceled even more. His coffin was already nailed in, but now he's 10 feet under, not just 6 feet under. So Shakira immediately tweeted out after that interview went live, and she said that she is proud to be Latin American. And she put every single flag of the 29 countries that make up Latin America, because she's a legend and she supports everyone. And she no longer has to pretend to take his side when he says dumb shit, because he is her ex and a loser. And we love that for her. Must be hard to be a wife and have to agree with everything your spouse says sometimes. To all of y'all doing that, you're doing God's work. And I'm sure you just want to scream and say what you really think. But you're being a good wife, so good for you. I'm just thinking, wouldn't Gerard Piqué's kids that he shares with Shakira also be of Latin American descent? Why is he shitting on his own kids like that? Mucho gimnasio para trabajar el cerebro un poquito también. Gerard, what I just said right there is he works out a lot, but he should work out his brain a lot too, because he's an idiot. Yeah, I took Spanish 4 and I forgot most of it, but I will always recognize. I got an A in the portion of the Spanish speaking test where we can pick up on words that are bashing men. So I'll never forget that. Something else that is gag-worthy is now Shakira is leaving Barcelona, where her and Gerard used to live, she took the kids with her too, and they moved to Miami. She said, "You'll never see me and my kids ever again." She said, "My kids." She posted on Instagram and said, "I settled in Barcelona to give my kids stability. The same thing that we are now looking for in another corner of the world, next to family, friends, and the sea. Today we start a new chapter in the pursuit of their happiness. Thank you to everyone who surfed alongside me so many waves there in Barcelona, the city where I learned that friendship is certainly longer than love." Oh, oh, it makes me sad because through all the outward vibrato and anger, very justified display of like anger that Shakira is showing, you can tell that above all, she wanted her love to work out with him and her family to work out and have that perfect, lovely, full of love family life. And I bet you she's still in kind of a state of shock. And that's why she is coming at him like this. I think it's totally justified, and I'm on Team Shakira. But I just really do feel bad for her broken heart and everything. And the fact that she has to move overseas, like, she was like, "I cannot live next to his mom anymore," which makes sense. But she could have just moved towns. Nope. She took a G6 all the way to Miami. She said, "Thank you to everyone who has been there to cheer me up, dried my tears, inspired me, and made me grow. Thank you to my Spanish audience who has always covered me with their love and loyalty. For you, just to see you later. As for my father said so many times, see you around the curves." Oh, that's such a cute thing to say. Even the dog probably hates Gerard Piqué, and dogs like everyone. The dog probably snarls at him. So anyway, what can we learn from Shakira moving and calling him out? I think we can learn that you cannot heal in the same environment that broke you. I feel like sometimes that's something we all overlook because our environment seems so comfortable, and we associate our emotions and our mood with situations and events that broke us. But I don't sometimes think we realize the importance of actually moving out of an environment that enables such events and situations to happen, and where you'll inevitably be around people that cause such harm. Moving out of an environment is really a big step to your healing that I feel like people do not take with such affirmative, quick, prioritized action that they should. Someone else who is dealing with the heartbreak of divorce is Kelly Clarkson, musical legend, first American Idol ever, and just all around fucking icon. So Kelly Clarkson, she's the busiest woman in Hollywood. She's putting out a new album called Chemistry. She does The Voice. She performs live everywhere all the time. I think she just announced she's doing a Las Vegas residency, and she has her own talk show that she does weekly during weekdays. I don't know what the fuck kind of energy she has or how many hours in the day she has, but she's running laps around me. She does more in a day than I do in a week. So good for Kelly Clarkson. But on her talk show, she has this really exclusive and like staple segment that she does that only she can do called Kellyoke. Because truly her voice is so magnificent, it could sound good with any song. So she takes popular artist songs and sings them to open her show. Like she covers people. And it's seen as like an honor. Like people love when Kelly covers their songs. Not like when Kidz Bop does some just horrible butchering of your song for kids to consume. It's really an honor. And she did A, B, C, D, E, F, U by Gayle, a very controversial song that people have had enough of and never want to hear again. But Kelly changed the words when she performed it. Ooh, and she threw shade directly at her ex-husband, who she filed for divorce from about this time last year. So still kind of fresh. So she was singing and she said, "Forget you and your dad and the fact that you got half and you broke my heart. Turn that shit into art. Forget you and your friends that I'll never see again. Everybody but your dog. You can all get lost." So that's not the original line of the song, but she sings, "Forget you and your dad and the fact that you got half and my broken heart. I turned that shit into art." So something crazy about their divorce is the amount that she had to pay him when their divorce went through last year, he really got a fat check out of Kelly Clarkson because she had to give him a one-time payment of over $1.3 million to her ex-husband Brandon for divorce settlement money. And in addition to that, she has to pay monthly spousal and child support for him. Damn. I don't know what their divorce or what their marriage agreement was, like what their prenup said, but she's definitely getting screwed over in this divorce. So I understand why she would change the lyrics to forget you and your dad and the fact that you got half. And now my broken heart, I turned that shit into art because she's coming out with a new album. So she's definitely throwing shade at him on live television on her own show. Like during the daytime, she chose violence. She was like, let me get this with these ratings right now. Just run him over with a bus right in the afternoon today in front of the whole world. I love it. I thought that was iconic and a good way to throw some shade in a song. What a better way to do it. So I can't imagine having to pay someone I hate $1.3 million. I would never hand someone that much money who fucked up in a relationship so bad with me that even though we have four kids and we're married for that long, I'm still going to divorce you. Like, that would just be such a sting. Not only did I waste all that time with you, but now I have to give you $1.3 million over my rich, hot, skinny, dead body, bitch. I'd rather hand you a bomb and then run away and watch you explode. Also, how are we supposed to listen to Piece by Piece by Kelly Clarkson now? He never walks away. He never asks for money. He takes care of me. He loves me. All those things are not true. He did walk away and he did ask for money. He got a lot of money. So I'm kind of depressed now. Oh, divorce is so depressing. I feel like divorce is like the worst breakup possible. When you get married and you're like, till death do us part, and then you divorce, like, what are you supposed to do with that? Because if I divorce someone, it's not going down easy. I can tell you that. It's not going to be some, okay, let's just be cordial co-parents. No, we said till death do us part. We're splitting up, so that means one of us has to die. Let's fight to the death now. Like, I'm fighting to the death when I get divorced because that's what the vow said. I'm just doing what the vow said. You're about to die. She was talking about divorce, and she said, it rips you apart whenever you fall in love with someone and it just doesn't work out. I think the thing about divorce, especially having it publicized and people thinking they know the whole thing, that's the hardest part of it. Like, this wasn't an overnight decision. Everyone thinks it was a quick decision. Anyone that's been divorced knows that was years of trying to not, quote, make it work. But I never wanted to be a part of something to make it work. I just wanted to make it beautiful. I wanted to make it awesome. I wanted to make it everything it possibly could be. I didn't want to be with someone just to try to make it work. And sometimes that just doesn't happen. Her new album's going to be so good. So fucking good. Kelly Clarkson is, I feel like, such an underrated icon. She was the first artist I would fully cry to her songs to. Like, In My Bed When I Was 13, crying myself to sleep. No reason I had to do that. But I was listening to, like, Because of You and crying. Breakaway. Crying in my bed. I just want the best for her. Someone else who people think might be getting divorced is Ariana Grande and her husband Dalton Gomez. Now, this is the funniest story of my fucking life because I've been seeing Dalton Gomez slander on my Twitter all week. It's actually insane. The Selenators are probably like, he copied her last name. He copied Selena Gomez's last name. So they're just going after him because that's what they do. No, I'm just kidding. But he's getting hate online. I don't even know why. It's coming out of nowhere. But people are all posting fake fan art of him being gay. I'm not even kidding. There's photos of Dalton Gomez's face, like, photoshopped onto guys who are kissing guys. There's, like, videos of guys, like, going at it out of frame. But from the side, someone kind of looks like Dalton Gomez. And people are being like, oh, it's Dalton Gomez. He's gay. People are, like, faking Grindr messages with Dalton Gomez. There's basically this huge campaign on Twitter that Ariana Grande's husband is gay. He kind of does have a gay face, if you ask me. A gay face is like when someone just looks a little too soft or overly moisturized. I don't know. He just has a little bit of a gay face to me, so I wouldn't doubt it. But this also comes at the same time that he deleted his Instagram. And a few months ago, Ariana was doing an interview for Ram Beauty, I think, and she wasn't wearing her wedding ring. So people are like, oh my God, did they divorce? People are throwing shade at him online. He deleted his Instagram. She wasn't wearing her ring. What is going on? And we actually don't know because they keep their private life so private. And that's what pisses me off most about Dalton Gomez is that we know nothing about him. I'm like a protective fan and I want to make sure he's a good man and has a good aura to him. I don't even need to know the personal details. I would just like to see him talk and monitor how he moves his mouth when he talks and what his energy is. You know what I'm saying? I just want to vet him for Ariana and we just know nothing about him. So that just makes me a little bit nervy. But I can tell you right now, if I had to guess, I would say they're really doing good and they're not in any sort of turmoil or trouble. Because Ariana's the happiest she's ever been right now. She's off filming Wicked. I feel like she's been filming that shit for 9 months in Europe. And she just posted the most happy Instagram post she's ever posted in her whole fucking life. And after everything she's been through, I'm really happy for her. But I really want her to finish filming that damn film and get back to making music. Show us her husband. Just give me something, Ariana. But I know that is not conducive to her peace. But she posted just the other day how they're halfway done filming. And if you didn't know, she's going to be in 2 films for Wicked. And she said that she's savoring every millisecond left on the set. And she's so grateful. She doesn't know what to do or say. And every day on set is just life-changing. She's learning and growing so much. And it's been such a disarming experience. She feels so much love around her. She gets to begin each day when the sun is up and end it after the sun sets. But she's having the time of her life and like never wants to leave the set. And Dalton's over there with her on set. So I'm sure they're just having an amazing, not wicked, truly beautiful time together. And they're not divorced. And I guess he's not gay. I don't know. Hypothetically, if you ever kill your husband, hand on the Bible, I'd be lying through my teeth. It's dirt on you. So the Country Music Awards happened yesterday or the day before, and usually that's like a Republican National Convention rally because it's country music. But there was such a refreshing turn of events at this year's Country Music Awards because Kelsea Ballerini, who is like the country it girl right now, she's like this generation's Carrie Underwood or Miranda Lambert, just that like token it blonde girl who everyone acts like she's God in the country music world. That's really Kelsey, and she deserves it. She's really talented. She writes amazing songs. She's a great woman. But you know all the bills that are being passed or not passed right now in southern states or wherever about in the country as it pertains to LGBTQIA people and drag queens in particular. The Tennessee drag ban was passed, but now it's temporarily paused. Thank God. But if that bill really did pass, lives are at stake. Truly, lives of LGBTQ people are at stake because that bill is so vague and evil in the way that it can police and monitor all queer people in the state, not just drag queens. And that would just be like the biggest attack on the queer community in so long. So I feel like we need voices, especially who are within that group, who have influenced to maybe change their peers' minds about not passing a bill like that. We need those people to stand up. And that's exactly what Kelsea Ballerini did. She was hosting the show, so she had that mic to herself all night, and she can say whatever she wants. And I feel like country music is like a cult almost. It's like Scientology, and they want you to act a certain way and say certain things and be a polite little girl and wave and wear your crown and just do what the community wants you to do, which is sing about trucks and beer and heartbreak and your jeans and your horse. And that's really it. But Kelsea Ballerini, she was like, no, fuck that. I'm not playing the part that they want me to play. I'm not pledging allegiance to what they want me to do, and I'm going to piss them off. And in country music, seldom does an artist put their career on the line to support the LGBTQ community. I really don't know many country songs who champion queerness in any way. Like, a lot of pop stars have anthems for the queer community, but not a lot of country singers at all. I would actually say almost none. Kacey Musgraves kind of does. And she said, after she came out with her song Follow Your Arrow, that does, it's not even like a big queer anthem. It just says, make lots of noise, kiss lots of boys, or kiss lots of girls, if that's what you're into. She's just said, like, I can tolerate that, like, that if that's what you're into. And she was blacklisted from country radio ever since then. And that was her first single. So it's really like a cult over there if you ever support something that goes against the Bible. Because apparently church and state are not separated like they said it would be. But Kelsea Ballerini, she performed a song called If You Go Down, I'm Going Down Too. And guess who she was dancing with on stage? She brought out a bunch of RuPaul's Drag Race drag queens in front of all the Republicans in the crowd, all the people who are probably the exact people who want drag queens to be banned. And she was just dancing with them. There was confetti. There was rainbows. It was amazing. It was iconic. And guess what? No kids died because drag queens aren't harmful to them. I bet you half the crowd covered their kids' eyes. The conservative beer belly pig-faced men probably thought they were so funny asking, what's that thing? When the drag queens come out, because that's the go-to, I'm extremely homophobic, like passive-aggressive thing to say. When you see a drag queen on screen, they say, what's that thing? As if they don't understand. But she did that in front of the whole world right as this bill is getting passed. And I just think she's such a legend icon for that. And now I just want to give her some time on this podcast because I'm worried for her career a little bit. So I'm like, please go listen to Kelsea. Please support her because she makes such amazing country music and she's sticking her neck out to make a bit of a difference when she was in a privileged situation and didn't really have to. But she's so smart because these days you can't really just be passive and be the good little pageant queen who doesn't talk about politics. Like, that kind of went out the window in 2020. And everyone knows, or at least the smart people in entertainment know, you have to be an ally to marginalized communities or you will lose more fans than you would if you spoke up about it. And she understands that. She's a smart person. These days, it's like you're either an ally or you're not. And I think that's right. I think that's what the motto should be. So Kelsea's a legend. She's a genius. And she even started the show with a statement on gun violence. And you know all the country folk are like, you can't take away our guns or our beer. Fuck the queers. So this was like a big statement for her to make as well. She opened the show and she said, on March 27, 2023, 3 9-year-olds, Evelyn, William, and Haley, along with 3 adults, Catherine, Cynthia, and Mike, walked into their school that day and they didn't walk out. Because there was a shooting that just happened in Nashville. It killed 6 people in an elementary school. She said, the community of sorrow over this and the 130 mass shootings in the U.S. this year alone stretches from coast to coast. I wanted to personally stand up here and share this moment because on August 21st, 2008, I watched Ryan McDonald, my 15-year-old classmate at Central High School, lose his life to a gun in our cafeteria. Yeah, she watched someone die from a school shooting before. So you can tell that she's, you know, she's not there to behave and just smile and be happy that she's a famous country star. She's deeply impacted and wants to make a massive difference. And I like that she infiltrated the community first. Like, she played the game of being the country queen that they wanted her to be just so she can get super famous and then turn it around on them. I think that's wonderful. She says, tonight's broadcast is dedicated to the ever-growing list of families, friends, survivors, witnesses, and responders whose lives continue to be forever changed by gun violence. I pray deeply that the closeness and the community we feel through the next few hours of music can soon turn into action, like real action, that moves us forward together to create change for the safety of our kids and our loved ones. Kelsey was immediately met with some backlash on Twitter, with people saying it was very inappropriate to make the night about her political agendas, and we were just trying to like enjoy the Country Music Awards. Why is she forcing things like this down our throats? And they'll keep their Second Amendment right to bear arms, blah, 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 blah. A lot of people were mad at Kelsey. This person tweeted, last night in Nashville, instead of showing solidarity with the local community and Christians who had just lost 6 people due to a transgender shooter, the Country Music Awards and singer Kelsey Ballerini brought out a group of drag queens onto the stage instead. And yeah, that tweet had a lot of likes and people were going in on her, retweeting it, saying blah, 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 blah. Why would she use her platform to do that? So that's why I just feel extra enthralled to talk about her today and show her support. So what can we learn from this? I think we can learn from Kelsey's defiance to kind of represent what country music stereotypically has been portrayed to represent. Can show that being a member of a group or being in the in crowd or being a part of a society, being liked or being popular, whatever, is never worth not doing what's right. The people you associate yourself with represent you and what you condone and what you allow and what you think is right. And I feel like you lose a part of your soul and your morality if you're so worried just about fitting in more than saying what you want to say just because people who you want to like you don't agree with you. And I think that's a very hard thing to do. It's much easier said than done. But I think she's a wonderful example that hopefully a lot of people may be in situations like hers who their families are not so on the same page or accepting of drag queens or the LGBTQIA or people of color. They can like stand up for themselves and be like, no, I'm not going to play this part or be in this role. I'm going to do what I want and what I think is right. So I think she's a legend and an icon and we can learn from her for that. Well, thank you guys for joining me on Pop Culture University today. I hope you liked the class, loved all the info and the inspo and the tea that you got. As always, I love being the professor and being able to serve all of this to you. I literally appreciate all of you so much, and you're the best students in the whole effing world. Let's hand out some superlatives for the week. So the secret villain superlative this week is Kim Kardashian. She got away with a lot. She's making millions a day, blah, 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 blah. But maybe she literally ruined someone's life in the making. So secret villain, definitely Kim Kardashian. The unproblematic pageant queen, superlative, aka America's favorite, goes to Kelsey Ballerini this week. Fucking legend standing up against a community who literally just goes against everything she just put on stage tonight. Icon, legend, and we love Kelsey Ballerini. The messy bitch that lives for the drama, superlative. I'll say Kelly Clarkson. She threw her man under the bus on live television on her own show. Slay, bitch. Purr. Obsessed. The most likely to be canceled next superlative, Dalton Gomez. People just seem to be coming after him. I'm on to you, Dalton. You better not mess up or we will make those tweets go even more viral. I want to add another superlative because I feel like the most likely to be canceled next superlative is bad, but it's not the worst. It's like they're on the horizon of getting canceled, but maybe they won't be. We're kind of just inspecting them. They have a warning. So I want to add like a really bad one that's called public pop culture enemy number one. And that's going to be Gerard Piqué this week. He's going to be the inaugural recipient of the public pop culture enemy number one superlative, and he deserves it because he's trash. Like, why does he exist? Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining. I hope you have an amazing week and don't let capitalism get you down too much while you're doing what you're forced to do this week. Kim Kardashian, I know I just talk shit about her, but she put a nice inspirational quote on her Instagram story that I'm going to share with y'all. She said, love your fucking life, tell people you love them, talk to random strangers, do things that you are scared to do. Fuck it. Because so many of us die and no one remembers a thing we did. Take your life and make it the best story in the world. Don't waste that shit. And I agree. And I love the delivery of it. That seems like it was delivered by a 13-year-old Valley girl. I think it's wonderful. So don't waste that shit this week. Live your life. Do something that scares you. Talk to random strangers. But mostly just do whatever the fuck you want. Who gives a shit? We're all going to die one day. And that's terrifying, but very comforting at the same time. So anyway, thank you guys for joining. I'll see you Friday. As always, leave a cute little review. 5 stars. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You're already here. May as well do so. Check out my Snapchat show, Unfiltered Pop. It slays. Oh my God. I checked my Snapchat show, like my subscriber count on Snapchat, and it said 29,000. And I was like, oh my God, that's so much more than the last time I checked. Last time I checked, I had 14,000. So I was like, yay, it doubled. And then apparently I checked it again before I filmed this episode, and it was just a glitch. I actually still had 14. I was so depressed. I was actually really mad about that before I started filming. Fuck that. Fuck Snapchat, always trying to ruin my goddamn life. First my nudes leak and now this. I'm kidding. But anyway, screenshot yourself listening to it, post it to your Instagram story, tag me, I'll hit you up. And until Friday, goodbye.